Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Well, this morning Doug shared, and we appreciate that, the ministry of the Gideons. And Doug, that passage from Isaiah that you shared at the beginning of your talk, can you share that again as the benediction? You know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. That'd be great. So this week, Doug was sharing, and we learned about the Gideons ministry, which I've known about since I was very young because of motels and Jethro Tull, if any of you are familiar with that. Me and Jim. Anyway, Margaret too. But anyway, Jethro Tull is an old rock and roll band. That some people pay attention to words. But anyway, I don't know why I did that, Jim. But yeah, what the word and the respect for the word that goes out that the Gideons have and the power there. Next Sunday, we'll shift a little bit here. Emma will be sharing about her travels that are coming up to return to Africa, and we're looking forward to hearing about that. And her ministry, of course, is about translating the word. So the next two Sundays, my sermons are going to be about the scripture and the power of the scripture to move. And it also will be a good bridge into Advent, I think. So we'll see. That'll be next Sunday, is Advent, as Laurel pointed out. But as I was beginning this, the passage that Kurt read for us, the Hebrews passage, chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That idea that the Word of God is living and active, and also that it can break into our heart. The Scripture says it can cut into our heart. It can move us. That's the idea that I'd like to have you kind of grasp a hold of today. And what I'm going to do is do a sermon this week and next week, where there's examples of the Word of God moving in people's hearts, moving in people's hearts. And what I want to do is open up with the Acts chapter 8 passage. It's just a story from the book of Acts of this Ethiopian who's traveling back to Ethiopia, left Jerusalem, worshiping. And it's just a wonderful story, a lot of dimensions to it that you may or may not be aware of. So that's Acts chapter 8. I'll be starting at verse 26. And what I want to do first is, I believe Hutch is, got the slides for me. Thank you, Hutch. And what I want people to think about is a little bit of historical background of why in the world would an Ethiopian person be up worshiping in Jerusalem. And you can see that purple shaded area all around, that's the diaspora of the Jews. The Jews were taken into captivity in 622 Israel and 586, I think, Judah, over to Persia, Babylon, that area, to the east of Israel. I don't know if you can see that. You know, they've got the Mediterranean Sea, you've got Israel, and to the east of that, Mesopotamia, down and through there, they were taken away. But at the same time, Jews kind of dispersed. They were removed from the land of Palestine and just traveled all around the world. And one of the things was to get away from difficulties. There were just conquerors coming through Palestine all the time. And why was that so important? Well, it's a trade route. Palestine is where people traveled through. If you look down to Africa, I hope you can pick out Egypt there. Down below, you can see the Red Sea, and then up through Palestine, over into Europe, over into Asia, where Turkey is now, and then also out over into India and even as far as China. There was a trade route. You've heard of the spice route, maybe, or the Silk Route. Well, Palestine was on that track. So it was a land that people moved through, and the world of that time, people moved a lot more than what we might think. They traveled, they traded, and so when the Jews went out, one of the things they did, they lost their place of worship in Jerusalem, but they brought their scriptures. Okay, so this is an important thing to keep in mind. They lost their place of worship, but they brought their scriptures, and they established synagogues all over the world where the word was shared, the word was taught. And because of the respect that's different than today, back in those days, the respect for ancient religions was great. In the Roman Empire, the Jews were free to not worship Caesar, as everyone else was required to, because it was an ancient religion, and they were exempt from the practice of burning incense to Caesar because their faith was respected. People understood that Yahweh was their God and no other, and there was a respect for the morality and the strength of the Jewish people around the world. Sometimes they were persecuted, but really not that much. Often they were respected. Things changed over history, and today people don't necessarily hold in high regard ancient faith or the word of God. But back then, it went around the world. And so people would have the scriptures. They'd be attracted to the Jewish synagogue. They'd go to hear the word. Remember the Queen of Sheba, even way back then, and who visited Solomon. Now, there's a debate. Ethiopia wants to claim her. There's a lot of mythology around the Queen of Sheba from Kings or Solomon. So it was a queen that came. She was definitely from the south. A lot of people think maybe like around where Yemen is, but a lot of different countries claim her. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, that even back then, people traveled and people heard that there was this kingdom that has great wisdom in its teaching. And so there was this attraction, even down as far as Ethiopia, the very base of Arabia, and then around the world. So people were more aware of the scriptures than you might think. It was available anyway. Not everybody flocked to it, but it was definitely out there and available. So if you look at Acts chapter 8, the situation's not as unusual as you might think, but some of the circumstances here are quite unusual. So let's look at it. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, the church is actually being broken up and scattered at this time. Stephen had just been killed, and there was a persecution of Christians in Jerusalem, and people went out. Philip went first to Samaria, and then he's called to come down south of Jerusalem, and he's on the road. And the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's southwest of Jerusalem. Gaza is by the edge of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, that position is really something. He's the treasurer of the queen, and there was actually queens and kings in Egypt or down in Ethiopia, but the kings were supposed to be like sacred and in charge of sacred things. And very often the queens did the administrative work, and this guy was an assistant of finance to Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. So he's on a trade route. His job is to manage money. And you'd think that he was probably going down there to do some diplomatic business. And there might have been some of that. But the scripture points out the guy's heart and why he really went on this trip. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, so that's kind of what I'm talking about. I've talked about God-fearing Gentiles and usually thinking of Asia Minor, thinking of around Europe and Greece and places like that. But it was also down south of Israel, south of Palestine, even down into Ethiopia. People were touched by the word and became God-fearers. That means very curious about this God of Israel, and some even went to worship. I've put up this map a number of times where it shows at the time of the Passover how people from all around the world, God-fearers from all around the world, the known world at that time, or that section of the world, would come to worship. So you just see, the Mediterranean Sea. You see Jerusalem right there in the middle of the map. And all of those lands people came to worship in Jerusalem. So the effect of the scriptures was more profound than we often understand, even in the first century, and the centuries before that even. So this man had been touched by the words somehow. He heard the words somehow, and he was on his way home, sitting in a chariot. This is verse 27. So Philip started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, if you want to envision this, there is a huge contrast here. Philip came from the same neighborhood as Peter and Andrew. Up in Galilee, and they were, I don't think any of the disciples were that wealthy. Matthew, being a tax collector, probably had more money, but they were basically humble, ordinary people who did not have chariots. They had their feet, okay? That's what they had. So this chariot, you imagine the fanciest car that you can possibly think of that someone might have, something that's beyond the means of even the very wealthy. I don't know, Maserati, I don't know what. Well, use your imagination. What would you want with the most exotic car you can think of? And that would be equivalent to what this man had. And it's very likely that he was in the back of this chariot and he had a driver in the front. And so he wasn't like a charioteer. Okay, he was the guy, he was being chauffeured in the most luxury that you could possibly have at that time. A very important official in charge of treasury. It's like money was sort of dripping from him. Okay, his heart was still a worshiper, but that was a situation. But he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And that's another thing that tells you that he had means, because the scriptures were extremely precious. They were guarded in the synagogues and carefully copied, and not every Jewish people, in fact, very few Jewish people had a copy of the scriptures themselves. They would go to synagogue to hear the scriptures read. As Kurt was saying, reread the scriptures in the morning here. They would go and hear the word there. They couldn't afford these handwritten copies of scripture, the papyrus or paper of skins, all of that was expensive. So ordinary people didn't have the scriptures. So this man of means had the ability to acquire scripture, still very valuable, and he used his means to have scripture. So that's the picture, and he's going down the road. Behind all of this, I think we have to be aware of the providence of God, or the Spirit of God, going and moving Philip, and then where he's looking at the scripture. It's just amazing. And as we think about sharing the word, we need to think in terms of being in tune with the Spirit and listening to the Spirit and being aware of what the Spirit might be doing in the lives of others who we might be sharing the word. All the signals were that this man was a seeker of God. And he even heard, Philip heard what he was reading. Verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. That's just all laid out for him. And he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. Now, think about this. Here's this person of the land, and that is what they call the ordinary people in Palestine, in Judea. Ordinary people, common people, peasant. I mean, hand-to-mouth sort of subsistence person. That's what Philip is. And he goes up to this Ethiopian official, writing in the most class you could possibly write in, and the response was, "How can I understand unless someone explains it to me?" Don't you wish our officials had that sort of attitude? that the world leaders, people in power, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And even looking at this humble man who offers to help, and he's like, yes, help me. What a wonderful spirit this Ethiopian official had. I need someone to explain it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Think about it. Now, all of those things I've said, this drastic difference between the people, and he pulls him up, come on up, sit beside me and explain. And then we hear the scripture that was the eunuch was reading, verse 32. He was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice, and who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. He's in Isaiah 53. And that's a remarkable passage to be open to when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, again, you see that humility, explain this to me, please. Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. When we're thinking of scripture, Old Testament scripture, some people take a lot of liberties and say that this or that is pointing to Jesus, and sometimes it's a stretch. But when we have it in the New Testament, where it points back to an Old Testament passage, we can be certain that that passage is prophetic about Christ. And we can freely preach a sermon about how that passage is prophetic of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Isaiah 53 is. And this is one of those verses. He began at that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. Don't you wish he was here to give that sermon instead of me today? But let's go to Isaiah 53. The whole chapter is relevant, but I'll start at verse 4, Isaiah chapter 53, if you want to turn there. Philip explained about Jesus, starting with this passage. So let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. He took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace into relationship with God was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each one of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Pure gospel. We are sinners. We are in need of forgiveness. And here is Christ, the Lamb of God, who was offered on our behalf. He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That's the cross. A beautiful place to have the opportunity to start a sermon about Jesus Christ that Philip had. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned on his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'll skip down to verse 10 because I just want to talk about the fact that there's also resurrection in this passage. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied, and by his knowledge, my servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. So there you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ justifying many, making intercession for us, broken sinners. And through this passage of Scripture, now think of the Word of God working. The Ethiopian eunuch, this high-ranking official, loved the Scripture, was trying to discern God, was seeking for God, and just going after the Word and not understanding, but humble and asking for help of what looked like a simple, ordinary person who was willing to share. And the gospel was opened up through him, starting with this passage of Isaiah, which is so very clear that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I hope that all of us respond the way that this eunuch did. Going back to the story, it's got a sweet ending. Verse 35 again, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Evidently, Philip had shared similarly to Peter in Acts chapter 2. Peter was preaching a sermon, and the people were cut to the heart, it says. And this is what Peter said. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36, or just listen to me read it. A few passages here, a few verses here. Acts chapter 2 kind of fits well, I think, for understanding. Peter said, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Think of the Hebrews passage. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the hearts, the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the word of God working, Peter's preaching working. What shall we do? They're cut to the heart. They ask Peter, what shall we do? Again, this humble attitude. What shall we do? This broken attitude. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Far off, all that the Lord will call. An Ethiopian official, you and me, people around the world, people in Africa, the Bibles that are distributed by Gideons, all around the world, people is calling, and the message has to go out with the first connection to the Word of God going out. Why shouldn't I be baptized, he says in verse 38 back in Acts chapter 6. He gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Let me start at verse 36, just so we can envision this well. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. So you know he had chariot drivers, right? Gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. And the eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. It's a beautiful story of a humble person, open to the Word, then open to Christ, hearing the call and responding. May we be such people. Our closing hymn is number 561, We Gather Together. It's a lovely Thanksgiving hymn. And as we said in our annual meeting, both Jim and I kind of had the same thing. He stole all my thunder when he started out with how thankful he was, because that was about all I had to say. So we have so much to be thankful for, and the Word of God is one of the most significant things. Please stand. 561. Thank you. And please be seated. And sometimes your illustration doesn't come to you until after the sermon's over, but the chair was like a Rolls Royce with a chauffeur. So keep that in mind when you hear that story again. That would be it, I think, a Rolls Royce. Announcements. Okay, the afternoon fellowship today, and we have the virtual writing group. Okay, these are all in your bulletin. Carolyn Nestor is decorating outside, so she's looking for ornaments. If you remember last year, particularly on Christmas Eve, we had lighting and trees, and it's a beautiful season we're looking forward to, so help out with that. There's a ladies' event coming up December 11th, and that will be at Pat's house, Pat Payne. Okay. And caroling. Okay. Denise wants you to know that there are caroling opportunities to go to memory impairment, nursing home type atmospheres, and singing Christmas carols. So if that's on your heart, they always have a wonderful time. Anything else that we need to announce? Yes. Margaret? Sure. Same thing as the meal and then the praise. Very good. That's a sweet evening of singing music over at the Wilders home. So yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah. Make a joyful noise. Doug? We'll have Doug read the benediction for us.
It says from Isaiah 55, I'll start with verse 10 and read verse 11 also. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.